reason why you are resisted when you purpose in your heart to spend time with God. There is a reason why he comes against the body of Christ. He does not want you to worship God. He does not want you to have the kind of relationship, now get this, that Jesus had with him. And you can have the exact same kind of relationship. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus more or less of a son of God than you? And if he wasn't any less than you, then why can't you enjoy the same relationship that he enjoyed? See, the world tells us that there are limitations, sometimes limitations based upon the churches, the messages that we've heard in the past. It sometimes tells us that there are limitations, but there are no limitations. We can go into God as far as we want to go, and then some. Glory to God. When we don't get to heaven and then realize how sincere God was of loving you like his own child. How many parents do we have in here tonight? Do you love your children? He loves them even more. And your kids, you've called them knuckleheads. You call them jive time turkeys. You've called them a lot of things. But you know what God calls them? They're special to me. Amen. God calls you special. I don't care when you had your worst day. God does not go, that knucklehead. He doesn't do that. He just simply reaches down and says, you're still my son. You're still my daughter. Amen? Amen. So I want you to understand that as we learn more and more and more about worship, it's not you. You're being resisted. It's not that you're being apathetic. There is a force that is coming against you that you need to be aware of. So tonight, let's pull off the cover, off of the devil, and expose his reasonings for stopping the church from worshiping God. Now I'm going to give you a test question. I pray everybody can answer it. John 4:23 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's a positional truth, and that is who you are. Amen. You don't have to have any feelings. You don't have to have emotions. God said you can worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Jesus did introduce this powerful tool. When we use it, when it is used in any battle, it will steal the enemy every single time, in every test, in every trial. Could this be the reason that he fights you so much in worship? I thought you were going to start preaching up here. Okay. So let's talk about who is the devil and where did he come from. Let's begin by understanding the origin of the devil. In Isaiah 54:16, it says this, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. What God is saying here prophetically in these scriptures, I made him and I'll handle him. I'll take him out for you. In fact, he's already been defeated. Amen. He'll be put away at the end of this period of grace. He'll be put away. As we go through the millennial time and all that kind of stuff, he'll be put away for 7 years. But the bottom line is that God created him, and God has promised you he'll put him away. So you don't have anything to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Now, he's going to shake your cage. He's going to bring many accusations and a lot of tests and a lot of trials. But let me tell you something, sweetheart. Just keep on worshiping God. Just keep on giving God love. Just keep on magnifying him right in the middle of your trial, right in the middle of when all H-E double hockey stick is breaking loose in your life. Just keep giving him praise. I'm talking about there in your face, just keep giving him praise. No, don't begin to worry about the problem. That's when you begin to worship Satan. When you start worrying about the problem, when you start worrying about the outcome, oh, how bad is this going to get? Oh, my goodness, they're going to take away everything. I've lost it all. He's got you on a run then, man. He's got you on a run. Our Heavenly Father created him. In the beginning, he, God created the devil in the beginning, and he, God, will destroy him in the end. We can see a more detailed description in the origin of Satan contained in Ezekiel 28, 13 through 15. Now, I want you to see the beauty in this, what I call a beast. Now, beast does not mean something bad. There are beasts that fly around heaven. One night I prayed that, and somebody goes, why did he say beast? Well, you're thinking about the mark of the beast. Okay, the beast aren't always meant to be evil creatures. But it says, thou hast been in Eden, and talking about Satan, thou hast been in Eden. Where was Eden? The garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire. Are you ladies going, goodness gracious, he had every diamond, every precious stone that I want. And the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of our tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in him. This was God's right-hand man. Besides Jesus and the Holy Ghost, this creature, this being, was right there beside God when he created man. I believe he's the one that said, who is man that you're so mindful of him? I believe he's that guy, but maybe he didn't. I'm just that speculation. But my point is, the angels look at man and they go, why does God honor man so much? Who is man? But the bottom line, this guy oversaw God doing everything. He was right there with him. When people were giving, when the angels and all the hosts in heaven were giving God praise, guess where he was? Right there giving God praise. There is a joke whenever Jesus was riding in Jerusalem on a donkey and the children were yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna. The little donkey went, woo-wee, look at all this praise they're giving me. And Jesus patted the little donkey and said, settle down, settle down. It's for me, not you. So the thing is that that's what God probably should have told Lucifer. When God created Lucifer, the place in the Garden of Eden, and every precious stone was his covering, the tabrets, the pipes, these things refer to his musical ability. Now, the thing is this. There are stories, and I'm beginning to believe that they're probably true, that certain musicians have made a pact with the devil. Now, I can't prove that, but I think. Why? Because these people get filthy rich, and music just becomes a part of them. Why doesn't that talent stay in the church? Because they usually can't make that kind of money in the church. Mm-hmm. And because the enemy gets his greed in them. But that's a side note, okay? When he, Satan, was created, he was known as Lucifer. He wasn't known as Satan. God created him as the cherub. The word cherub is singular for cherubim. The cherubims were symbolic of God's holy presence, his unapproachable majesty, and they occupy a unique position. Satan's position, or Lucifer's position, was to guard the very throne of God. His position was that of protecting the holies of God. Satan had the highest of all positions in heaven, a position which he despised and lost. We have here in Ezekiel a picture of the highest of God's creatures, perfect in wisdom, beautiful beyond description, a musician on top of all that. He was given his high and exalted position, but this creation, with all of his wonderful attributes, also had a free will. Did you know angels have a free will? One day God says to his marvelous creature, one day God says to this marvelous creature, this gorgeous, beautiful creature, iniquity was found in you. Let's talk about Satan's history.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Why God created when he knew he's going to do that?
Well, God gives everybody free will. So God, it wouldn't be free will if you don't have a choice to make. You know, when God put Adam in the garden, if all Adam could choose was the good things, is that really a choice? I mean, think about it. I believe when you get to heaven, now Cheryl probably knows this better, and you, or some of you may know this better than I do, but the Bible says that the Satan will be loose for 7 years. Is that right, Mary? Something like that? He'll be loose for 7 years. I believe that 7 years that he's loose, he is trying to, God is going to find out the people that are there just for the sake of fire protection, fire insurance. So I think that God creates everything and he gives them a free will. He doesn't have robots. You're not a robot. You have a free will. When you get to heaven, it won't be that God sent you to heaven. You just failed to choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior and to serve him throughout your life. Yes. What did I say?
You say when you go to heaven, God didn't send you. God won't send you there. You make the choice.
That's correct. You make the choice. God has made a pathway for you to go to heaven.
Yeah.
But God is not denying or sending anybody to heaven. Men and women are making the decisions to go to heaven. How many of you think that God just, when you get born again, you're automatically going to heaven?
No.
Okay. So you got something to do.
Amen.
Okay. So the point is, you got a free will. If you get into some messes and you feel like, you know what, I'm sick of following God, I'm sick of being loving, I'm sick of being kind and all those kind of things, guess what? You'll probably turn your back on God. But God does not send men and women to hell. They send themselves to hell. Yes.
Somebody says there's two kinds of people. The ones that get on their knees and said, God, your will be done. And the ones that they want to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah,
and
true.
God tells them that your will be done.
Amen. Amen. Lucifer is just another name for Satan, who is the head of the evil world system. Who is, as the head of the evil world system, is the real, though invisible, power behind the successive rulers of Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and all those evil rulers that have been seen come and go in the history of the world. How many of you know who Idi Amin was? How many of you know who Hitler was? These men were influenced by the devil himself. Make no mistake about it. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't begin to pray in this nation can go to ruin. We have got to pray. Now, I didn't say we were. I said that, but if we don't pray, it can go to ruin. We've got to get on our knees. We got to quit saying, I'm too busy to pray. I don't have time to pray. No. If you want this nation to turn around, if you want to see God's blessings on this nation, we got to begin to pray. We got to reset our priorities. This passage goes beyond the human history and marks the beginning of sin in the universe and the very fall of the devil in the unspoiled, sinless provinces before the creation of man. In Matthew 16:26, Jesus began to tell his disciples that he would be betrayed and die. Peter rebuked Jesus, saying, Be it far from thee. Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now notice what Jesus said. He didn't say, Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't talk to Peter. He talked to the man, or to the entity that was causing Peter to say those things. And if he was saying those things then, who do you think is saying those things now? The script hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. Now, it doesn't change even in religious organizations. It's still the same. People that are teaching religion, they are being influenced by the enemy himself. They're watering down religion, and they're trying to make people think that you can get to heaven based on your works. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot get to heaven based on your works. You cannot get in God's presence based on your works. You get these things from God based upon what Jesus has already done for us. And Jesus said of Peter, "Get thee behind thee, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." Jesus also knew the real invisible power behind the statement that Peter made as the devil. So we see that Peter was influenced by the devil himself, and Jesus called him out right on it. Sometimes when you start seeing stuff go on, instead of you going, "Oh Lord, help me now," you need to say, "I bind the devil behind this mess." Amen. In Jesus' name. But now in some religious circles, you're being too religious. And I don't think so. If Jesus did it, I'm not too proud. I'm not too puffed up to do the exact same thing. This is why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:12 said this: "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The source of your fight is a man, but the evil spirits, the source of your fight is not man, but the evil spirits contending for our faith. That's your fight. That's your fight. What am I saying? You wake up in the morning and you know, man, pastor preached a good message. I got to get in here and spend some time in worship. But you know what happens? The whole morning passes by and you ain't spent time in worship. Then you say, "Well, I'll spend some time this afternoon." The afternoon passes by, you still haven't spent any time in worship. Everybody say, "I'm reading your mail, huh?" Okay, the nighttime comes, you say, "Well, I'm going to cut this TV off and I'm going there and worship God." That before you know it, it's 11:30 at night and you're going, "I'm too tired now, I got to get and go to work in the morning." So you go in there and go to bed. Don't shout me down now. I know what goes on. I've been to the same battles. But I know who's influencing that. It's not God. It's the enemy that's working around you, telling you, you don't have time to do these things. And he will always tell you that. Why? He doesn't want you to fellowship with God. He'd rather your checking account goes belly up. He'd rather you get laid off. He'd rather your family gets busted up. He'd rather all these bad things happen. Your kids get on drugs and one of your relatives get cancer or some other damnable disease. That's what he wants to happen. Why? So you can spend your time worshiping the problem and not worshiping God. Wow. He's clever. There was a guy named Dan Moeller, and his wife was suffering from a brain aneurysm or something. And the doctor said, "Man, she's not going to make it." He said, "You do what you do, I'm going to do what I do." And I know what the man did. God showed me. He went home and he began to worship God all night long. He says, "God, I'll get my miracle." He said, "Doctor, I'll get my miracle." Doctor says, "I don't think so." Came back the next morning, his wife was up in bed having breakfast. Glory to God. Folks, that's the kind of power that we have. Amen. But that power won't happen until you spend time with God. Amen. Especially if you've been in the Christian dome for 5 and 6 years. Mm-hmm. If you were born again last week, okay, we'll cut you some slack. But I think I'm looking at people up in this camp. You've been born again for several years. Yeah. You get bad news from somebody. You get bad news from your banker, you get bad news from the doctor, you get bad news from your neighbor or whatever, and you're going, "Oh, it's all starting to happen again." No, that's not the response you should make. Just throw your hands up and say, "Father, I just come to give you praise." You know what's going on in my life. You know what's happening. God can be touched. I'm getting ahead of myself. God can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
Amen.
So don't you think he already knows what you're going through?
Yes.
Sure he does. He knows that your bank account is on the blink. He knows that your spouse is having fits. He knows that you're going through stuff. He knows that. But he can't do anything about it until you begin to spend time with him. You need to spend time in his presence. I'm just trying to find ways to encourage you to spend time in private worship. The devils fall from heaven. In Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, the Bible says this: "How art thou have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart," now watch these "I wills. I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." You think you got a pride problem? You think you got a problem with pride? Now remember, he's right there with God. He's watched God make the universe. He's watched God make man. He's watched God do all these marvelous things. He's been there when men and women have given him praise. And now all of a sudden he's understanding, if God gets such joy out of this praise for all the angels and all of them worshiping him, man, I want some of this. But as I'm going to tell you in a few minutes, worship is a term between creator and createe. You cannot worship a createe. Do you know what I mean by that? God is a creator. The devil is a createe. You are a createe. When you begin to worship man, you are worshiping a createe. When you start worshiping one of your family members or one of your employees at work or your boss or your relative or your neighbor, you are worshiping man. You're not worshiping God. Am I being too hard tonight?
No, sir.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Just want to be right on down the middle of the road. Notice the pride in all the "I will" statements. He said he would exalt his throne above the stars. The word "stars" does not refer to what we see in the night sky. It refers to the angels of God. In other words, I will take over heaven, is what he was saying. In other words, I will be just like God. That is Lucifer's sin, and that is the iniquity that was found in him. He does not want to be God's servant. He does not want to do what he was created to do. He wants to be served, and there are millions who have chosen to do just that, to serve him. Please don't be one of them. Please don't be one of them that serves him. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. There are many in the church that are serving the devil. See, we got to start looking at this thing the right way. I'm not running down the church. I'm just saying some of the messages that I hear, you're not being inspired by God with some of those messages. God does not have pleasure when you take the body of Christ and merchandise it. God doesn't like that. He doesn't like it. God doesn't like when the fact that you decide, oh, Lord, I don't want to go there because I'm going to step on so many toes that I may be getting some ugly letters. But God's word is not privy to one man. I'll say it this way. This is why at Dominion Training Centers, we give away all of our teachings. We don't charge you $10 for a 50-cent CD. Don't thank me, thank God. I didn't have anything to do with it because it was my deal. I'd been charging $10. Well, I'm just being honest with you. I mean, he's the one that said, no, you ain't going to charge anything. He's the one that told me, no, and you're not going to take up an offering that way. You want to just put the bucket back there and let them give. And I'm going, but what if they don't give? He says, what if they don't? In other words, he was saying, am I your provider or not? So I have to get in my prayer closet. I have to get in my worship closet. And I have to begin to thank him and praise him and worship him. That you It was your idea to start Dominion Training Center, not mine. You wanted this thing to flow. So you give me the messages, you pay for it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He wants to be served, that is Satan. And there are millions who have chosen to do just that, to serve him. They have listened to his lies and chosen to follow him. Listen to this. Eve believed the lie that she could be just like God. One of the reasons that Lucifer tempted her was because it was the very thing that he wants to be God. In Isaiah 55 and 15 and 16, Isaiah prophesied the devil's end. He said, nations will look upon him narrowly. Now get this. And they will say this. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake nations, that made the world as the wilderness, destroyed the cities thereof, that opened up now the house of the prisoners? In some translation it says, they will look upon Satan narrowly. And they'll go, him? That little punk? Seriously. God is saying you give him too much credit. God didn't put you on this earth and get you born again for you to be roughshod. He didn't do that. The devil tempts Jesus to worship him. In Matthew 4, 8 and 10, again, the devil take, it says this, and again, the devil take him up on a high and exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And the devil said to him, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You don't think the devil wanted Jesus to worship him? Well, if the devil wanted Jesus to worship him, you don't think the devil wants you to worship him? See, here was the deal. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil wanted Jesus to worship him, and the devil truly thought that Jesus would, he would. You know why? Because he thought if he could finagle Adam to bow down and worship him with trinkets, then he could finagle Jesus to bow down and worship him. I can assure you, he thought he had Jesus pegged. And when Jesus responded this way. It says, only the Lord, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So the devil wanted Jesus to serve him, but Jesus refused to serve him. Only the Father knows how long Satan reigned with him as the anointed cherub. The devil spent centuries beside God's side as he received worship from all of God's creation. I believe that he became jealous of God, and that's when he rebelled against God. The devil was created by God to worship and open up the whole of creation to worship. God created the voice and all the instruments within him, the devil that is. Only one can only imagine the effect it had on all creation. Worship was created by and for God. It is a word that can only take place between creator and createe. And remember, the devil is a createe, and you and I are createes. You and I and the devil were created by God to worship our Creator. Worship was created to provide us a way to fellowship with our Heavenly Father. It is well to note that this worship we give him is not self-exalted, haughty, self-indulging worship that God gets a kick by when you're lifting up your hands and giving him all the praise. In other words, God's not going, look at him. Oh, God, I'm worshiping me. That's not what God says. He's a loving Father. He's a graceful Father. And he's very delicate with your worship. That's why when you go into worship, you can't make any mistakes. You may say the wrong thing, but he'll correct it. He's just looking for the desire in your heart to worship him. Listen, let me tell you this. If you have a desire to worship God and you miss that desire, God counts that as worship.
Praise the Lord.
Now, if you desire to worship God and you're still desiring to worship him after a year and you ain't worshiped him yet, then he knows that ain't desire.
Praise the Lord.
But you desire to worship God and you set aside time and you want to get in there and spend time with him and something comes up beyond your control, and you don't get to get in there, God goes, I give you credit for that. Because why? I know, I see in your heart, you want to give me praise.
Amen.
Throughout the day, I'm giving God praise. As I drive that old white truck, I'm giving God praise. I'm worshiping God. And listen, just because somebody tries to cut me off, I've learned that I can go, God, I give you praise. You protected me again. I give you all the glory and the honor. I magnify you. Why? When I'm not praising God, guess what I want to do? I'll end up worshiping the devil. You sorry jive time turkey. Who gave you a driver's license? Where did you learn how to drive? Well, who am I worshiping? I ain't worshiping God with that. Now, just be frank with you. I'm not worshiping God with that. I'm worshiping the devil with that. I know some folks want to say, well, that's just kind of hard. That's the truth. Your words have power. Your words have power. Your words have creative power. Because we have been restored into sonship, we now have the ability to worship God out of our new nature. The Old Testament saints couldn't do that. They could only kill a ram or a bull or a goat and let the blood be shed, but they couldn't worship God out of the innermost sanctuary of their heart. They didn't have a new nature. They weren't born again. We now have the ability to worship God out of our new nature. The Old Testament saints, like I said, they couldn't do that. They had to kill an animal to worship him. Because we are sons, we can fellowship with him, get to know him from the least to the great, because his laws and his commandments are written into our hearts. He can become to you your father, just like the firstborn from the dead. I'll say it again. God wants you to have the same relationship with him that Jesus had.
Mm-hmm.
The same one.
Amen.
Your relationship is not tainted. Now, the devil may start convincing you of that. Well, there's something wrong with my worship. There's nothing wrong with your worship. Just keep worshiping God, and you'll get more and more acquainted with him.
Mm-hmm.
I told you last week, if your boss, who you didn't know personally, brought you in his office, set you down and said, hey, how you doing? I want to know something about you. It would be a very awkward conversation. Why? You know him as employee and employer. Okay? Well, God does not want you to know him as employee and employer. Remember the prodigal son? The oldest son did not know his father. He says, I never transgressed the law in my life. I've always obeyed you. Son, it wasn't about obeying me. It was about loving me.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, your son who has been found has come back to us. I want you to enjoy that he's been found.
Mm-hmm.
But all the son could think, he's giving up. He's taking all the family fortune. He's spending on righteous living out there with harlots, etc., etc. People often think that Jesus could not be tempted, but the Bible says differently. How many of you think that Jesus could not be tempted? Okay, well, good. I'm in the right crowd. How could somebody be tempted with something they don't want? Could I tempt you with $1 million? Because you don't want $1 million, do you? I can, though. I ain't going. I'm not going to sit here and tell you a story. I can. But you can only be tempted by something that you want. And when Jesus was tempted by Satan to give him all the world, Jesus wanted the world. But Jesus said this, I'll have the world, but I'm not taking a shortcut. I will go through the cross. Not going your way, man. I'm not going to bow down and worship you. I got too many of God's sons and daughters on the line. I'm not going the shortcut. I'm going the long way around. Although Jesus was tempted, he didn't sin. Look at Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted. That's not my words. That's from the King James Bible. In all things as we are, yet without sin. And again, as I said before, a person cannot be tempted with something they don't want. If they want something, that's why you can be tempted. Okay? So Jesus basically told the devil, oh, I'll regain the world, but I won't get it back your way. I'll get it by going through the cross. So what does it mean, as I close, what does it mean to worship Satan? Satan also told the Lord to worship him in exchange for kingship and honor from humans. The adversary presented an image of people falling down in worship in exchange for goodies. See, many people think that they'll worship the enemy because they can get something. Or you may go into worshiping God for something in return. Now, the thing is this. When you go into worship God like that, you're going in under works. But if you spend enough time, you'll come out as the grace of the Son of God. You'll come out that way. You're not going to sit in there and worship God going, I know I'll get some money. I know you're going to heal Aunt so-and-so. I know you're going to heal me. You can go in there thinking that way. But when your heart turns sincere because you're giving God sincere praise, trust me, by you being in his presence, he'll turn all of that around. That's what's so powerful about worship. You can go in there, like I said, you can go in there with works on your mind and come out full of the grace of God. That's how powerful he is. Why? You can't hang around somebody and not become just like them. See, if I hung around a drug dealer and he hung around me every day, one of us going to change the other. Somebody's going to get changed. Either I'm going to become a drug dealer or he's going to become a Christian and a preacher. But he ain't going to remain the same. Somebody's going to change. You can't spend time with God and remain the same. That's why you go into God. Sometimes you go into God in an attitude of legalism, in an attitude of works, and you come out full of the grace of a Son of God. Scriptures reveal that the angels and saints in heaven worship God by falling down on their faces. This is what Satan envisioned when he wanted Jesus to worship him. He envisioned Jesus falling down on his face and giving him praise. Satan, the consummate, He is the original copycat. He still fights. He's still having a fight. He still wants to replace God in the hearts of humans and bribes them with promises of power. Scriptures warn us that it is not worship. Scriptures warn us not to worship the devil. Revelation 9, verse 20. If you know people that are even in practicing witchcraft, those kinds of things.
Most of the religions in the universe, they worship by falling down. And there is a church, I forgot the name, the people go in the church. I've been there one time. My friend took me. And everybody goes here. And when you come in the church, people are lying down, falling down, lying down near the before the service starts.
Let me give you this example. Yes. It's not in my notes, but God gave me this several weeks ago, and I've been waiting to preach on it, but I will. Do you remember the harlot that was in, I forget, it was Samaritan's house or in somebody's house? The Bible says she walked in, and she stood behind him. And she fell down on her face and began to wash his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. And she poured an alabaster box of oil over him. And Jesus said this to the person that had him as a guest. I've been in your house and had dinner, and you never once offered to wash my feet. That's worship. She didn't know that she was touching the very core of Jesus. Now, can I show you the example in the in the latter part of the New Testament. Okay, remember, she fell down and worshiped him. Jesus left us an example. Did you know that? Of how to worship.
Yeah.
When do you know when it was? Jesus, when he washed the disciples' feet, what he was doing, he was worshiping. Now, he wasn't worshiping man. He was worshiping his Father by serving others. He's worshiping. He washed, I think he washed the betrayal off of Judas' feet. That's why I think, now you can disagree with me, we're not going to have an argument about it. I think Judas is in heaven. Now, I could be wrong. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. But I think that Jesus knew exactly the one that was going to betray him. And Jesus washed betrayal. In other words, Jesus worshiped the Father by washing those disciples' feet. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got some worshiping to do. We've got some worshiping to do. And again, it's not because I think that it's something that I want to mandate on you. It's that I want you to be free. And most important, I want you to steal the enemy. I am tired of seeing the devil run roughshod over people. And they're going, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And when I go, you need to worship God, they go, that's going to change my problem. It lets me know one thing. You don't have a clue about spiritual warfare. Not at all. Now, you may go out and quote scriptures, and you may quote this whole line of scriptures, but I can tell you this. I have seen men that have been in the church for 50 years, died of cancer, clutching their Bible and quoting scriptures. Why? Why? They didn't know their Heavenly Father. They didn't know their Heavenly Father. They thought he would work for them because they perform works before him. Jesus doesn't heal you based upon what you do. Jesus heals you based upon what he's already done for you. Now, here's what you have to do. You got to learn to believe it. Well, let me give you a little hint. Here's how I can help you learn to believe it. Spend time worshiping God and calling him your healer. Spend time worshiping God and calling him your provider. Spend time worshiping God and calling him your best friend. Spend time worshiping God, excuse me, and worship him in the area where you're struggling the most. And every time the devil runs around with a problem and goes, it ain't gonna change. It ain't gonna change. It ain't gonna change. Trust me, it is changing.
Amen.
It's changing. He's changing it. That you gotta hang in there and keep worshiping God. You cannot stop. Now, that doesn't mean you don't quit praying. You quit praying in tongues. That doesn't mean you quit meditating and assimilating. It means all that. But maybe when you're going through a test and a trial, you just spend extra time in private worship. I mean, my days for the last few weeks have been nothing but private worship. I spend very little time praying in tongues. When I say very little time, I mean, I probably don't spend any more than an hour a day praying in tongues. But that's okay. Why? I am developing relationship with him. And I want to know him as my Heavenly Father. I don't want to know him what a book says. I don't want to know him what a pastor says. I don't know him by what the world say. I don't want to know him by what you say. I want to know him by what he reveals to me as my Heavenly Father. And when he begins to show you exactly who he is, I'm telling you, when he told that woman that if you were to drink of this water, that there is a living, this is living water. It is a well that is springing up. And you can drink from the well of worship by spending time with God every single day.
Amen.
And at that well, you'll find peace. You'll find healing. You'll find prosperity. You'll find everything that you need. But listen, let me caution you. Quit looking at your Christian friends because they drive a 350 Mercedes-Benz. Quit looking at your Christian friends because they live in an exclusive part of town. Quit looking at that because most Christians are getting these things in the natural. And when you get something in the natural, it can be taken from you. But if you get something from God, that ain't never going to be taken from you. Never. See, a lot of people are operating in the natural. Just because you see them wearing diamond rings and all that kind of stuff, listen, I'm not moved by that. I'm moved by when I sit down and talk to you, you tell me about your relationship with God. If all you talk about is your trinkets, I ain't impressed. I want you to hear you talk about your relationship with God. Amen. Man, I was spending time with him this morning, and he ran right through my bedroom. He just laid me out, and I was in his presence, and I'm just telling you, it was on, Jack. That's the kind of people I want to be around. Amen. I don't want to know about how many new cars you bought this year. I could care less. Because you could be in thousands of dollars of debt. What I want to know is, do you know him like that? Amen. That's what I want to know. And if you don't have anything, don't worry about it. Begin to worship him until he gives you everything you need. Why? He's already made a promise. The only reason why we don't have it is because we don't. I don't know why I'm preaching all these messages. Faith says you got to begin to see it in a place called done. Amen. It's already been done for you. Your healing is done. Your financial future is done. Amen. And until you see yourself as done, you'll still see yourself as the babe in Christ. And all you'll see are your wants, your needs, and your testing and your trials. But a mature son begins to see God, it's already done. You've already given it to me. It's just a matter of time. It's like I told you, if you have a millionaire that gave you a check for $10 million and he dated the check for 2 weeks in advance, but you knew the millionaire was good for it, you're not going to fuss with the millionaire because you're going to know he's good for the money. In 2 weeks, I'll buy that house. I'll buy that car. I'll be living in that neighborhood. That's how you act. That's how you ought to act about God. He's promised to supply my needs. I'm going to look at it in a place called done. It's already been done for me. I'm going to see it as done. If you're going through sickness and disease, begin to worship God and begin to have the Holy Spirit show you where that place called done is. Show you where that place called done is. It's already been done for you. God doesn't have to bring healing on the scene. God has already supplied healing. But our problem is, the moment that we believe God for healing, because of our subconscious mind, we begin to start doing things to get it done for God. Mm-hmm. We start working on the side. I'm going to help you out, God. God don't need our help. Amen. He doesn't. Amen. All he needs is your faith. Hallelujah. All he needs is you to believe that he's already done it. He doesn't need your help. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do. Not a thing. Just like he told Peter, get behind me, man. Thou art an offense unto me. You savorest not the things that are of God. When we come to God with all that kind of, oh, God, won't you help me? He's like, get thee behind me. That's not who I am. You don't pray to me like that. Amen. You pray to me, Father, I give you praise. Now, remember, I'm not talking about a Christian that's been born again for 1 or 2 years. I'm talking about somebody that's been around the church for 4 and 5 years. You ought not still be going around the mountain going, I want to know why God ain't healed me, why God ain't set me free. He ain't set you free because you don't see it as done. Amen? Amen. I'm going to stop preaching because I've got to find some place to stop. Well, thank you for coming out tonight. I hope you got blessed. The devil wants to be worshipped. And the thing is, you got to realize that every time you go in and worship God, he's got an attack on you. He doesn't want you to worship him.